The Old Testament reading this morning is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Behold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go return to your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he shall depart from here and found Elisha." So he departed from here and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran away with Elijah. And he said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to steal something I heard at the district convention this week, so sorry, John Burry. You've heard some of this already. But I feel like it fits our texts and our situation today, and it preaches. You've probably heard me say before that I've got a few bones to pick with the lectionary. One of them is that they tend to skip or trim around hard texts, but that's not true today. This is more that the one-time hit or miss that we preachers often conspire with it to miss it. When a tough text does appear, we ignore it and pick an easier one. But the lectionary is consistent in skipping martial texts. Texts with action or violence in them. And today is a perfect example. You don't get our Old Testament lesson without the confrontation that immediately precedes it. And that confrontation used to be a Sunday school staple. The kids loved the jokes. Elijah telling the prophets of Baal, "Maybe your God is on the toilet." And they loved the fire from heaven and the taunts, "Put more water on my altar and offering, more to drench it." And the boys would leave those Sunday schools chasing the prophets of Baal. And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, let not one escape." They seized them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there, 450. What is God doing when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." God was making Himself known. He was doing what He promised to do. And for some reason, that active, cranky Elijah against the prophets of Baal is missing from all 3 years of our lectionary. There are plenty of lectionary stories of patient endurance and of bearing up under suffering. There are none about looking at what God is doing in that way. But you don't get to our text today without that preceding sense of victory. Because I have no idea how you have just witnessed fire from heaven and killed 450 prophets of Baal and immediately end up a sad sack in the desert. Or at least it never made complete sense to me. But then I started to think a little bit deeper, I hope. Yes, 450 prophets of Baal are dead, but Jezebel is still queen. And Ahab is still king, and they'll just ordain more. There always seemed to be an unlimited supply of false priests and prophets. Yes, the people who saw it confessed to God. The entire nation didn't see it. And we know how these things go. Word will spread and people will believe it and not believe it. They'll just continue to believe what their priors were at. They continue to believe what they want to believe. Some of those people won't care because they'll just blame God for the drought that had been going on for 3 years. If Yahweh is God and He's the one who brought the drought, then heck with Him. Why would He do this to us? Kind of like the joke about all modern atheists. God doesn't exist, and boy, do I hate Him. Nothing ever really seems to change. God can do something, make fire come down from heaven, and nothing changes. God can send His Son who performs signs and wonders. And the crowds are always fickle. We always like our personal sins. And you'd be surprised at how fast you want more bread, or that the signs and wonders didn't happen. I think that's a bit of how you get to where Elijah is at. The word of the Lord came to Elijah and said to him, "What are you doing here?" And he answered, "I've been very jealous for the Lord. And all that is going to happen is the entire world now hates me and is going to kill me." Let me paraphrase that a little bit more. Why is it this way? Why can this great sign be done, yet the people of Israel forsake your covenant? Why do they ignore and throw down your altars? Why do you allow your prophets to be slaughtered? Those 450 were a drop in the bucket compared to yours, God. Why? And why am I left alone? Even I, only I am left. Why have you abandoned me? Even though we might witness what God is doing, even though we have seen his work, we end up asking these why questions. And the truth is, God just doesn't answer why all that often. It isn't an important question to him. Because what God desires is faith. Faith in what he has done. Faith in what he promises to do. The whys belong to God and are his forever. But you, go behold what God is doing. Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passes by. Because the Lord is always passing by, but we don't see it all the time. Because God is active in this world. And what we really want is for God to be active in impressive ways. A great and strong wind that rips up the mountains and changes the very surface of the earth. An earthquake that brings down all the high and the mighty. A fire that rips through society and burns the hearts of men. We want the Lord passing by, having loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. Jesus would say to the crowds that they came because they had their fill of bread and they wanted more of that. The Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, the sound of a low whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak. It's not that God can't do those signs and wonders. He does. It's that they never changed hearts. It's the word that comes to us from outside of us that changes our hearts. It's the word that we encounter in the silence of the night when we are tired of asking why. It's the word that speaks low and directly to you. That you know you are standing on holy ground and you cover your face lest you might see what you can't. It's the word that against asks for your complaint. What are you doing here, Elijah? And listens to the wise. One more time. Because lament is proper at times. It's the word that comes from the cross. Why have you forsaken? And yet that why is followed by Jesus saying, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." The whys weren't even foreign to Jesus, but it was his faith that saves us. He places his spirit into the hands of his Father. That something as low as a cross is how the Father would save everyone. that something as quiet as death would be heard. God doesn't answer Elijah's whys. He points him to what? Because God is still passing by out there. Go back, Elijah, and look closely. Look at what the Lord is doing. See it. And take your part in it. Anoint Hazael and Jehu. Find Elisha. There are 7,000 in Israel who have never bent the knee to Baal. Go back and witness what the Lord is doing. And so he departed. And he found Elisha. The question isn't really why God allows this or not that, because we don't know. And God probably isn't going to tell us. But God does pass by. And he passes by real close. So close that you can hear his whisper. What's he saying to you? What's God doing that he's inviting you to be part of? Because that's what we are invited to do here. To be like Elisha. He arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. We are invited to follow Jesus, knowing the cost. It's the cross. What is God doing? You'll find it in those small things. The things that change hearts, one by one. The things that make us a new creation. The things that ask us to live in faith. That we can admit there is no way that I can do this. And you are right. Because God has already done it. We just need to recognize the moment of his passing by. To walk by the Spirit. And it's worth hearing Jesus' tough note. When you hear that whisper, and you've returned, and you've found Elisha, don't look back. Because it's a journey of faith. If you've got a case of the whys, lament is perfectly fine. God's a big guy. He can take it. Talk to God. Take it to him. He's probably not going to answer your why, but you'll get direction. Look, there is what I am doing. Go be a part of it. But that life of faith is not something you want to pick up and put down. Because no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. Is fit for the kingdom. Hear that. Nobody in the Bible who ever turned around and looked back had anything good happen to them. Because the walk of faith is heavenward all the way. So keep walking. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep walking in faith, because God is doing something in you. Amen.